I'd like to become a good priest. That has always been my ambition. I want to become a good father. Some of you perhaps are telling yourselves. I want to be a doting and caring mother. Some of you are telling yourselves. I want to become a good teacher, a diligent worker, a good engineer, a good pilot, a skillful doctor, a good lawyer. You can go on and on with the list. If I'm not mistaken, we all have ambitions in life, don't we? We all have ambitions in life. But those ambitions vary from person to person. But we all have ambitions in life. Ambition, by definition, is the desire to achieve something. But in desiring to achieve that ambition, it entails hard work. It entails sacrifice. It entails patience. And yes, it entails time from each one of us. Because we can't attain that ambition unless we surrender and trust in our loving God. Ambition is a human experience that is evident in today's gospel reading. For the second time, Jesus predicts his passion, his death, and his resurrection. Recall that in last week's gospel, after Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And after Peter responded, "You are the Christ," Jesus told them that he is going to Jerusalem to suffer, to die, and on the third day, he will rise. Then, of course, Peter says, "No such thing will ever happen to you." The response of Jesus, "Get behind me, Satan." The ambition of Peter is different from the desire of God through Jesus. In today's gospel reading, after the transfiguration event, coming down from Mount Tabor, the disciples were walking with Jesus through Galilee into Capernaum. And as they were on their way, Jesus, for the second time in the Gospel of St. Mark, predicts his passion. He tells them once again, "I'm going to die, but on the third day, I will be raised from the dead." Mark tells us that the disciples of Jesus were not paying that much attention. No wonder they did not understand. And so when they got to Capernaum, Jesus simply asked them the question, "What were you arguing about? What were you gossiping about on the way?" No, Jesus didn't use that word. And they said, of course, to themselves, they couldn't say a word because they were so embarrassed. Because they were thinking of their ambition. They were probably arguing amongst themselves, who's going to sit on the right and the left of Jesus when the time comes? Their ambition is about greatness. Who is the greatest? They asked themselves. Jesus, knowing full well their ambition, reverses it and tells them that God has a different ambition for them. And that ambition is not only for the disciples of Jesus, but it is an ambition for all of us. And Jesus says, you want to be great? Then so be it. But you must be a servant. You must be the servant of all. For Jesus, true ambition and true greatness, or the ambition of true greatness, is found in the way we serve and love one another. That is why Jesus takes a child in their midst, places at the very center, not because the child is a symbol of a willingness to learn and all of that, but more importantly, the child symbolizes the neglected, the unwanted, the poor, the homeless, the women of Jesus' time, the widows and the widowers and the orphans, because the child represents someone who can't do something for him or herself and can't give anything in return. Again, the child symbolizes someone who can't do anything for himself and cannot give anything in return. And so Jesus says, you must serve those who are childlike because they can't do anything for themselves and they can't give you anything in return. My brothers and sisters, you and I, all of us, we all have ambitions in life, and those are good ambitions. But God, as I've said earlier, has a different ambition for all of us. In fact, God tells us to be ambitious. To be ambitious. And being ambitious, Jesus tells us to be a servant. To be a servant. Because Jesus knows that if our ambition is about fame, just about fame and honor and prestige, then, as St. James says in our second reading, it includes jealousy and selfish, worldly ambition, then it means nothing. Rather, in humility, Jesus says, in humility, we are to serve the least, the lost, and the last. In humility, if we want to be great, then we must be the last one, not the first. Today, we celebrate Catechetical Sunday. We recognize all of our catechists. The catechists who teach our Sunday religion or Sunday school, our teachers who help us in our school community, and yes, even the parents, because the parents are the first teachers of the faith. It also includes grandparents, because they too are the first teachers of the faith. But as we celebrate Catechetical Sunday, all of us are invited to go back to the Sacred Scripture, and then the Sacred Scripture reminds us that in our work as catechists, whether at home or at work or in this parish community, we serve one another. And when we serve, we just don't use words. Saint Peter Claver, a Jesuit saint and priest, once said, when we speak, we must first use our hands before we use our lips. My friends, today as we gather to celebrate this liturgy, we thank our loving God for calling all of us to be catechists in our own simple ways, in being a parent, in being a friend, in being a teacher, in being a co-worker. We are all catechists. And so we give thanks for the gift of that invitation. And as we are fed with the Word of God, as we are fed with the bread of life, Jesus reminds us today that the invitation is this. You and I must take a basin, a pitcher of water, wrap a towel around our waist, and wash each other's feet. In doing so, we imitate the servant of all, who is Jesus himself.